field of learning has its own vocabulary, its own set of words that are used for that particular branch of learning. Sound confusing? Let me give you an example to show what I mean. In the branch of learning called math, or arithmetic, or mathematics, there are certain words, or a certain vocabulary of words, that are used to describe things that happen in math. Words like plus, minus, times, multiply, sum, difference, tangent, theorem, denominator. All of these words are a part of the vocabulary of math. They have no sense in music. They have no sense in baseball. They are strictly in use for math. The same is true for medicine. In the vocabulary of baseball, we have words like fly, home run, bunt, catch, grounder, fastball, foul, and so on. If you know the vocabulary of baseball, it is easy and fun to talk about it with others. If you don't know the vocabulary, it feels as though you are in left field. If you know the vocabulary of a certain field of knowledge, you can communicate more easily. So if you know the language of medicine, you can avoid saying something like, "Yeah, man, my brother ate some dried up mold stuffed into a plastic container about the size of your fingernail, and the doctor said that dried up mold was supposed to get rid of his headache." Now, if you know the language of medicine, you can simply say, "My brother had a fever and took some penicillin." Music has a language. When you study music theory, you are learning the language of music. It makes it easier for us to discuss music when you know its language. We are going to have a vocabulary lesson. When we are finished with the lesson, you will be able to identify the difference between monophony, homophony, and polyphony. Phony means sound. Mono means one. Monophony means literally one sound. Monophony or monophony is a fancy term for a single note melody played in unison. Listen. That was Mozart's sonata in B flat, just the melody, played monophonically. So it was a piece of monophony. Poly means many. Do you remember what phony means? Phony means sound. That's right. So if we connect poly, which means many, to phony, which means sound, we have polyphony or polyphony. And it means many sounds or many melodies going on at the same time. Most Baroque and Renaissance music is written in a polyphonic style, a many-melody style. Listen to this little fugue in G minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. Listen how he brings in melody after melody. The melody or subject of the fugue is a long one, and it sounds like this. Listen carefully and see how many layers Bach uses in the polyphonic style by counting the number of times you hear the melody or subject come in. I will tell you the answer at the end of the piece. Count carefully the number of times the melody comes in.
In Bach's Little Fugue in G minor, how many times did you hear the melody come in, or the subject? Yes, in that little fugue, the subject came in 4 times. Now we're going to have a little quiz to see how carefully you've been listening. First of all, what does mono mean? Mono means one. What does phony mean? Sound, that's right. So what does monophony or monophony mean? Right, one sound or one melody. What does poly mean? Many, that's right. Now, what does polyphony or polyphony mean? Right, many sounds or many melodies or a layered texture. One last word to learn, homo. You may have heard this word used in another context. Homo means the same. If we put it in front of our Latin word, phony, we have homophony or homophony, and it means same sound. Homophony is the word that best describes the style of music that Mozart composed. Musicians and listeners in the classic period thought polyphony of the Baroque was just too complicated, too difficult to listen to. So they wrote their music in a homophonic style. A homophonic style can sound like this. That was the second theme from Mozart's Sonata in F. You may want to play it someday. It's a great piece. But did you hear how all the notes moved at the same time in that little segment? A melody was played on top with harmony all moving together. Listen to it again. Here is another example of homophony used by Mozart from the same sonata in F major. Homophony is not only used for a melody with an accompaniment that moves as a blocked chord passage together, but homophony can also be used for a melody with accompaniment, whether the accompaniment is in blocked chords or whether it is like an Alberti bass, a broken chord accompaniment figure. Here is a melody. And here is a broken chord accompaniment. Now let's listen to both of them again. This time we'll put them together so you can hear it in a homophonic style. Sometimes in the works of Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, or other composers, the accompaniments become so creative that it is difficult to distinguish between homophony and polyphony. But that doesn't matter. Knowing the vocabulary of music and how to recognize and describe its parts enables us to enjoy music on a higher plane or a higher level. It will also help you in your own composing. Mozart became as good as he was because he was an active listener and studied carefully these writing styles of homophony, polyphony, and monophony, and many others. He studied them so well that they became a part of his own vocabulary, so that he could not only recognize how other composers put their compositions together, he could also create them himself. He got tired of people saying that he was such a good composer because he was born with a gift. He felt that discredited all the hard work he had done to learn to compose. Mozart said, "People make a mistake who think that my art has come easily to me. Nobody has ever devoted so much time and thought to composition as I. There is not a famous master whose music I have not studied over and over." Haydn and Beethoven said similar things. So let's follow their example and continue to work like they did by continuing our study of homophony, polyphony, and monophony, and other things. Listen to the following brief examples of music and tell me whether it is monophonic, with a single melody, mono, or polyphonic, many melodies, poly, or homophonic, homo meaning one melody with blocked or broken chord accompaniment. Here we go. Here's example number one. Listen carefully and decide whether it is written in a homophonic, monophonic, or polyphonic style. That was Mozart's Sonata number 15 in C major. It's a fun one to play. What was it? That's right. It was written in a homophonic style, melody with accompaniment. Now, listen to example number two. That was Mozart's Fantasy in D minor, the very beginning, the introduction. It was written in a monophonic style, single melody. Listen to example number three. That was Mozart's Sonata number 17 in D major. It was his last sonata, and therefore we can find an example of polyphony in it. As you remember, Mozart studied Bach toward the end of his life, and so in his last works, we see evidences of that study. He put in his last symphony, symphony number 41, the Jupiter Symphony, a fugue, a very magnificent fugue. He also, in one of his fantasies, puts a fugue, and also in this last sonata, we see an example of polyphonic writing. How many melodies were going at the same time? One, two, three, four? Two. Yes, we heard two going at the same time. Okay, let's try another. This is example number four. That was Mozart's sonata number 13 in B-flat major. What was it? That's right. It was in a homophonic style, a melody with accompaniment. Oh, you mustn't stop your piano playing or your instrumental playing or your voice playing until you can play the masterworks. Playing the piano is fun, playing an instrument is fun, singing is fun, but the real joy comes when you can play and sing on an artist's level and be able to enjoy the great masterworks composed by these great master composers. It is worth the effort and the work to get to that level and to communicate with those minds on that level. Let's try another one. Number 5. Here we go. Who was that one by? Bach or Mozart? That's right, Bach, his little fugue in G minor. What style was it written in? Polyphonic style. Let's do one more. This is the last one. The last example is the C minor sonata by Mozart. In it, Mozart moves back and forth from homophony to monophony, which he does frequently. It's one of the hallmarks of his style. Particularly in his orchestral works, he likes to these long monophonic passages of octaves going together, particularly in the strings. And they're fun and exciting. As you listen, see if you can hear when he goes from one to the other. That's a gorgeous sonata. From the examples you've listened to, what style did Mozart use most of the time? Monophony, polyphony, or homophony? Right. He used homophony, melody, and accompaniment. Monophony was the second most used style, and as we mentioned before, toward the end of his life, a friend named Baron von Swieten gave Mozart a copy of many of Johann Sebastian Bach's work, and of course, Wolfgang immediately recognized the genius of Bach, and he began to use more polyphony in his later works. The fact that Mozart used homophony gives us a clue as to how we should perform his works. Remember, homophony is melody and accompaniment. It is important that the melody is brought out above the accompaniment. Listen carefully to the following two examples. I'm going to play the same piece two different ways. Tell me which one you like. Now listen to the second example and tell me which you like better. It makes a difference to bring out the melody, doesn't it? Another important thing to remember when performing or practicing Mozart is that the piano in Mozart's day sounded more like a harp than our present pianos. They were not nearly as sturdy. To give you an idea of how much lighter they were than our present pianos, consider the fact that when Mozart performed, he would have a couple men come and carry his piano from his home to where he was going to perform. Can you imagine carrying your grand piano today? They were definitely a lot lighter and sounded softer in those days. This does not mean that Mozart should never be played loud, but it is something to consider when interpreting his pieces. One other item about Mozart's piano. The early pianos did not have a damper or sustaining pedal. Mozart had one later in his life, but even then, the pedal did not sustain the notes nearly as powerfully as they do today. Many pianists take this as a clue to use the pedal sparingly and rarely, if ever, blurring harmonies together. Frequently, when you attend a concert of Mozart's works or play them on the piano, you will see a number after the title. Always, the number is preceded by the letter K. For example, it might be Sonata in A minor, K310, or Minuet, K6. These letters and numbers refer to the work of a German man named Ludwig Kirchhoff. This man tried to collect all the works of Mozart and number them according to the order in which he thought they were written. So K1 would be Mozart's first piece. K2 would be his second recorded piece. Mozart's first piano sonata is K279. The Requiem, his last work, is K626. Alfred Einstein studied Mozart's works and found Kirchhoff's catalog to have some mistakes. In 1937, he published a revised catalog. When Einstein's catalog is used, the letters are KV before the number, like KV427. So the first piece that Einstein thought Mozart wrote would be numbered KV1. Now we are ready for the test. The test, or little quiz that we'll have, will cover both sides of this tape. Listen carefully, and if you need to have more time after each question, go ahead and stop the tape for a second and answer it, and then go on. Question number one. There have been lots of talented little girls and boys over the years who could play the piano or violin beautifully at an early age. What was it that made Mozart different than the others? Question two. Where was Mozart born? Question three. What year was he born? Question four. No composer is completely original. They study the works of other composers to gain ideas on how to write good music. What composers did Mozart study? 5. What amazing thing did Wolfgang do while in Italy that could have brought him into serious trouble with the church, but instead brought him an invitation to a party? 6. Should we normally use lots of pedal or just a little pedal when playing Mozart? 7. What is polyphony or polyphony? 8. What is homophony or homophony? 9. What is monophony or monophony? 10. What does the letter K and number mean after the title of many of Mozart's works? How did you do? If you were able to correctly answer all 10, you are an excellent listener. If not, you may need to review this tape again so that you can learn everything that you can about Mozart. I would also encourage you to pick up a book at the library or buy one, and also, and more importantly, pick up some of his records and recordings and play his music and learn on your own about Mozart and form your own conclusions about how to play him and how to experience him and enjoy him. As Harold Schoenberg wrote, Mozart's music is at once both easy and difficult to play and listen to. Easy because of its grace and never-ending melody, its clear and perfect organization. Hard because of its depth, its subtlety, its passion. And it is difficult to add the subtlety of phrase to Mozart as you play. But it is well worth the effort, and you have such glorious feelings and are lifted to such unusual heights as you study his music and get deeper into it and enjoy it more and more. Good luck and happy listening and playing Mozart.